Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh,
what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long with
my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us so that the words that are spoken this morning, Father, are not mine, but yours, so that we can reach out and bring in some that are walking in darkness to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. As I pray this morning, the three of us that are here, Father, that are in leadership of this ministry are gathered here together. I'm asking now, Father, to be in the midst, to work with each one, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to this, your word. And use us, Father, in mighty and great ways. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Acts 2. And eventually a couple other places, probably. If this goes anything like he gave it to me. Because we have so much being mistaught today. You know, I've got what they call a teacher's Bible. Do you? I've got what they call a teacher's Bible that has a lot of added to it about the verses in the Bible to help you to understand it. But even that, because man has translated it, and he's played with it until a lot of that has been misled. So you have to really be careful. And in studying the Bible, you need, as you read it, to read it through the chapter read it aloud. A lot of times God will talk to you as you read, when you're reading aloud. But then when you get through that chapter, go back and start looking at your footnotes for the verses. And you're going to find places and things that should not be. And, you know, I didn't really begin to think a whole lot about that until all this happened. And the good Lord really got to working with me and giving me time to really look at it as research. So beginning here with verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, we know that Jesus himself had told them to wait in Jerusalem, in the upper room, and that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is where they're at. And why they're there is waiting. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to stop here a minute, because we have a lot of them teaching today that even before you're baptized, when you just repent, and his message was on Baptist about how it had nothing to do with you being saved. Spent his whole time, his whole when you don't really look at God's Word and know God's Word, it's very easy to be led, misled, and led astray. Baptism is not the idea that it saves you, but it is part of it, because you don't have salvation really. In verse 4, after they all been set upon by tongues of fire, it says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. We're told if there's no interpreter, then don't do it at all. But we got so many churches today, wants everybody in there to stand up and all of them speak in tongues at the same time. That's contrary to God's word. He tells them not to do it. 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, is filled with it. Now, but anyway, verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. It wasn't just a gift of tongues, it was also a gift of hearing. About serene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mockingly said, these men are full of new wine. They thought they knew. Because I imagine there was quite a stir going on in that upper room. Don't you?
Yeah.
Because outside of the 12 disciples, none of them had ever had any practice of dealing with the Holy Spirit. And yet these 12, when they went in that upper room, they wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at that time either. Because he had not been sent back to mankind permanently. You see, that's another thing too. Once the Holy Spirit has been given to you, he has been given to you permanently. He's not there today, gone tomorrow, back the next day, gone the next, or back for a week and gone a week. No. He's there living in you permanently. That's why we are told that we can do the same works that Jesus was doing. It's because it's not you and I that are doing those works. It's that Holy Spirit. You're going to begin to see a lot of this go on, and I believe in this year. Because there is an awakening in the church world today. I'm hearing men today preach a gospel like they have never preached in their life before. Because they have changed. Because you see, once you have completely filled that plan of salvation, once you have repented, once you have been baptized in Jesus' name and understood what happened to you, and once you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, everything changes. And it's at that time that your world really changes. Because it's that time that you can't sin. Mankind sure don't want to believe that. And yet, that's the way it is. But not very many you'll run into really want to believe that. And that's why we're told there's going to be so few find that narrow road that will lead them to heaven, because they do not want to believe the word of Almighty God. You know, they can go to the Lord Jesus and repent. He'll forgive their sins. All their past sins are gone, because he said he would. That don't keep them from sinning again. They're going to go, they're going to sin. Not as much, and it won't be a lot of the sins they were doing before, because their life is changing. But and they will continue to ask for forgiveness. Then they're baptized. and you're baptized in Jesus' name, because you've got to put him on. You've got to put on his death, his resurrection, because, you see, your spirit has got to die and be resurrected and become new. And that's the way it does it. That's the reason baptism has a whole lot to do with your salvation. It doesn't have everything, but it has quite a bit to do with it. But you know, I told you, and I know you don't like to believe it. Most don't. But whether you want to believe it or not, it's true. We've been over time after time after time. So we're going to go back over it once more, because I want you to never forget these things. Like I told you, there is something coming into this ministry. I don't know what. I don't know who it's going to deal with. But it's going to have to do with the three of us. We are the leaders of this ministry. And he tells us here, in 1 John chapter 3, we talk about the Holy Spirit. This lets us know whether we really have it or whether we don't. I'm going to begin with verse 3, because I want to keep everything in its setting. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Now, the only way you can purify yourself is by going through the plan of salvation. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. What's that verse telling you? If. Now, I'm going to read you a footnote in my Bible. My footnote says, to abide in Christ is to be dead to sin. The one who habitually lives in sin has never been transformed by Christ's life-changing power and purity. You see, there again, they're leading you to believe. The one that translated that, added this footnote, is leading you to believe that you won't habitually sin, but you're still going to be sinning. That you can't live without sin in your life. But that wasn't what that verse said, was it? It said that whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, we're getting down to facts here. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You can't get it any straighter, any plainer. And God don't tell you you can do something in one place and tell you in another place, well, you can't do that. If he did, there'd be no way we could know anything at all about this Bible or be able to believe in him. But every word in this Bible is true. It's all his word. Now, verse 10, and we'll quit there. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever loveth not the righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. But you see, there's a lot about here that'll tell you that they, oh, I've got a little sin in my life. But you know, I've got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will take care of that. No. Because they got sin in their life, they ain't got the Holy Spirit. Because they got the Holy Spirit, they cannot sin. That's God's word, not mine. That's his. Man don't want to hear that. Because he's got things out here in this world he wants to do that he knows ain't right. And they don't want to give it up. Well, I can't walk that straight. Yeah, you can. You can't by yourself. But once the Holy Spirit comes in, he gives us the power. There is nothing impossible for us. Now, God will take care of every need we have. We have to ask for it. It may not come instantly. But just because it didn't happen right at that moment don't mean he hasn't already answered it. But it will come at his time. Not ours, but his time. Because he knows what the best time is to give it to us. All right, now. We're going to have the Peter's address now on the day of Pentecost. One of the best services you'll ever think about reading and listening to. Starting with 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. All I want you to remember as we go through this, this is the same man that there in Jerusalem was so afraid when they took Jesus that he denied him three times one night. And now listen to how he's addressing these same people, because he's just received the Holy Spirit. He is filled now with that power he needs in order to stand, just like you and I are going to need the power today to stand. And we're not going to be able to stand even in this day and time. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They use those verses there and a couple in other places where he tells that your sons and daughters shall prophesy to give the ladies excuse to proclaim themselves as pastors and take over a church, which is strictly contrary to the Word of God. But that's where they get it. But you see, prophesy don't mean you're a preacher. It means that you share with others . But God has a way for all to share. He's got a word for the ladies. I'd love to have a church full of ladies. And all of them belong to him. Because they are needed. They are to teach the younger ladies. The elders are to teach the younger ladies how to care for their husbands, the home, and the children. If they do that, they ain't got time to do my work anyway. And your work that God's calling us for. But this is how they twist the words around. And yet, you know, they're told in place after place after place about these things. And yet, they just will not listen and accept what they have been told. We are warned about those that are over us. And we are all warned about our calling. Even 1 Timothy gives it to us, 3rd chapter, but also in Titus, chapter 1. Qualification for elders or bishops. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon to anger, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Nowhere in there does it tell that woman that she can pastor church or be an elder. Nowhere in there does it. Of course, we know he's already told them before, because he done that in 1 Timothy and also 1 Corinthians. In fact, when we come down to it, very few of our churches today is actually acting upon that word. We're talking about the shape of our churches today. That's why I wanted to get into the book of Acts. This is the beginning of the church age. The church age started at the day of Pentecost. It will end when he comes back for his church and takes his church out of the world. And we need to know how things were set up and what God teaches about it. Because God said he don't change. He said it, I believe it. That makes it so. Now you can go 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, and just very quickly here, just a few verses here, and they're short. But he tells about it. Verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. What are you seeing on TV today with these women preachers? Or standing there with all kinds of gold necklaces, long dangling gold earrings, gold bracelets, handful of rings, cut their hair as short as a man's hair, and dressed in what they call leggings, which don't really hide nothing. All it does was change the color of the skin, because they're so tight that nothing is hid. In fact, really, a lot of it is marked and laid out. They know this. They're told not to do it. They're told not to cut their hair. We got one that's preaching today. She's on 4 times a day. And she's painted up like you'd see out here in a house of prostitution. And that's true. Her hair cut as short as mine. Her lipstick, her rouge, all of her eyebrow painted up, eyelashes. Now, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works? Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Look up that word, suffer, in the dictionary. That word means allow or permit. So he's saying, I allow or permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. He goes on to even say why. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but Eve, being deceived, was in the transgression. He's got other things for her to do. But that's not one of them. But then you go back over into 1 Corinthians. In the 14th chapter, and he gets even stronger. And here, we'll just start here with, let's start with verse 29. 14th chapter, verse 29. Let the prophets speak 2 or 3, and let others judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth back, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. All churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. How much plainer do they want it? They have taken God's word out, actually, of three places for these men. I'm not going to right now. Of the Bible. But our men's doing the same thing today. Let that sink in for just a minute.
Yep.
You see, when you are actually teaching the Word of God as it is written, your church will sit and sleep on you, or they'll sit and ignore you. They'll look at you and ignore you. And they'll sit and look at you and shake their head yes about things you're saying, and it's going in one ear and out the other. And you're stopping in between. And they're not going to accept anything you say.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, why go to church anyway? You're not going to listen. You're not going to change. Now to why?
But that's where you should be. Because you're not going to change out here in the world.
Well, that's true.
That's why we are all to keep after people to attend church. But the right church, a church that is teaching the Word of God. And now we are getting a few more of them. We are having men today that had not been teaching the Word as it's written, that has begun to teach it just as it's written. And they are beginning to pick up good-sized congregations, even. And I keep, now I'm praying for them. It'll keep it going.
Yeah.
And all. What's the time? Can anybody tell me?
10:43.
Huh?
10:43.
All right, we're going to have to bring this to a close here pretty soon. And pick it up some other time. All right. We've done come down through 18. And here in 19, he says, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whomsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we have been told on the media that there has been four blood moons.
Right.
He only says once. He said four times. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. These same men he was hiding from and denying Christ three times.
Yep.
He's pointing his finger at them now. You see, that's that boldness. That's what you and I, that's what all three of us has got to get. We've got to pick up this boldness. And it will only come by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He's the one that brings us that power. And we need to be continuing in prayer for the boldness so we can stand and proclaim what God speaks to us about. But you know, a lot of them, they get close. And yet, what they do is they think, well, you know, If I do that, I proclaim that God told me to tell you, you're healed. You've got this, but now you're healed. And it don't happen right then. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to mock me. You see, the disciples didn't think that way. And neither can we. If God says do it now, do it. It don't matter. It's Him. You just have to have bones. Peter and John with the man that they carry and send it to the gate every day. Walk by the man and ask alms of them. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold, I don't have. But such as I have, I give thee. In Jesus' name, rise up and walk. Reach the guy by the hand, up he came. The same man that was so scared that he denied his Savior three times. Now, he's standing in the open, bold, proclaiming the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to do. It's coming, Phyllis.
Yep.
There's something coming to this ministry. I don't know exactly when yet. I don't know exactly how. I don't know exactly where that. Or which one of us will be bringing it in. God will choose. He already knows. I don't, you don't, but He does. Yeah, He knows exactly. We're going to close out there. I've bored everybody enough.
Morning.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a time that we can come together to share your word, share our love with each other, and to help each other to grow in faith, to grow in your word, and help each other to walk straighter in your will and in your way. Always, Father. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, I pray the Holy Spirit will work with them, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, I pray for peace for them. But Father, even more than that, I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, it has turned its back. It has walked so far away. It's took Jesus out of every place he was in. Our government doesn't want anything to do with the church, nor your people. But help us, Father, to remove from office those that are against you. And help us to replace them with ones that will work for you, for the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Work with us and help us to put this land back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, so that this land can repent, Father, and be healed and brought back to be a land for you. Now, Father, for Kenny, for Denny, myself, three of us, Father, take care of us. See to all of us. Keep us healed. from the top of our head to the bottoms of our feet, Father. Use us in mighty and great ways wherever we go and within whoever we are speaking to. Now, Father, our families, our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters, our great-grandchildren, Father, pray that you watch over them to be brought along, Father, in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not kept out of church, because, Father, in keeping them out of church, they're not taught anything about Jesus. Because a home that keeps them out of church does not teach them about Jesus at home. Father, we know we are living in the last days. We don't know when your coming will be. Only you know that. You have set the time. You have recorded that time. That's in your care. Father, we know that time is growing shorter. Help us to be ready, whether we step out of this life and meet the Lord Jesus, or whether we are here for his coming to the church. Help us to be prepared, Father, and ready. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this day, Father. Bring us back together this evening. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Ah. Now somebody got to get ready to go to work.
Yeah, I'm supposed to. I don't know that I will.
Huh?
I'm supposed to, but I don't know that I will.
No, you don't know what you're going to do, huh? Well, you're going to feel better. We just prayed for you. You're going to feel better. What's the matter?
Wow.
Huh?
Still bad.
Just about. Could be a cold coming on.
Did you hand off there? Did you shut that off?
Yeah, okay. I'm done.
Well, I'll run there to the house and get the